Let's turn to Matthew 6. It's at 2 o'clock today, by the way, 2 o'clock. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to continue on in our theme of the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, 5 to 13. It should be out on the screen. When you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. God, thank you for this house. Lord, thank you for worship. Thank you for our kids that we got to worship with, Lord. And thank you for the person, God, that's sitting right next to us, Lord. Thank you that we are a family of God. And so, and as a family, we come to hear your words, God. We come to be changed, God, by your message, Lord. And so would you speak to us this morning? God, to that end, we ask you right now to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself before you, God, and I ask that you use me to preach a prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just convey your words, God, but convey your heart. We love you. We thank you, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. And so, as you know, we've been going through this year our theme, Lord, teach us to pray. And so we've been going through the Lord's Prayer. And so now I get to speak on one little part of this. But just to remind us, this is the fourth petition of the prayer. And so the prayer, right, goes from your, and now it changes to us and our. And so if you remember, we talked about there's three parts of this prayer. And traditionally in the scriptures and in the early church, it was just simply known as the prayer. And so when they went to the place to pray, this is most likely the framework by which they were praying. And so the first part of the prayer is to address God properly. And so we've been going through that. And then there's three petitions of God-centered worship, followed by three petitions of human-centered needs. And so now we're moving into part of it. Remember, there's really a beautiful order of the teaching in this way, in the way he teaches us. And this is a simple order. And brothers and sisters, if you can really get this order in your heart, it'll change your life. And it's simply this. We just say first, all right, everyone say first, first. First we focus on God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his right. We don't focus on ourselves. We don't focus on anything. The first thing that we do as followers of Christ, we focus on God. He is our priority. He is the person that we're after, and we follow, we focus on him first and his agenda. And then we can focus on our needs. I think that many times that we go through a lot of anxiety and pain in these things simply because we get the order wrong, right? Because if you forget about God and all of a sudden you're thinking about your needs, it's huge. It becomes massive, but we go back to God, who's huge and massive, and we appeal to him, and then everything else seems so small, doesn't it? In that way. So we first focus on God and his agenda, and then we can focus on our needs. And brothers and sisters, our needs are really, really important to God. I mean, they really are, and that's his promise that he gives to us. In Philippians chapter 4, 19, and it says, "My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." It's so important. And to be honest, I think for me, a major turning point in my spiritual life. In fact, this actually happened before I became a Christian, but it really kind of set the tone and really moved my heart in such a way that decision became quite easy. Some of you guys know some of my testimony. We didn't grow up in a Christian family. My parents became missionaries later on, but around the same time that I became a Christian, I was the last person in my family to become a Christian. And to be honest, I think maybe like most of you when you started this journey, I just wanted to have fun. And I just thought being a Christian meant no more fun. And so I thought, I mean, the Christian faith seemed very reasonable. So I thought, okay, I'll do that when I'm older, when I've already had my fun in the world, and then I'll become a Christian. But something happened to our family. My parents owned a very large furniture manufacturing company. And you know, we had a lot of employees, you know, a lot of big contracts with the major furniture stores, in particular in California. And then something happened in our family. And well, I would say something happened globally that had a huge effect on our family. And it was simply that China joined the WTO. And when China joined the WTO, the furniture manufacturing industry in California disappeared overnight. Right? Obviously, yeah, let's get furniture from China. Cheap labor, everything's cheaper. And you know that because most of you guys would rather shop at Taobao than at Amazon, right? We know. Everything's cheaper in China. We get that. And so that's what happened. And so my parents, we lost everything. Everything. Our house that we're living at, my parents at the time had 5 other houses. We lost everything. Repossessors came and took our vehicles, you know, one after another. I mean, it was a really, really difficult time. At that time, I was actually going to school in Northern California, and it was a difficult time, and so I actually moved back to Southern Cal. I basically dropped out of school, and I was there with my parents, and I'll never forget this. This is probably the one of the saddest but a huge turning point. I remember my parents, I'd never seen my dad cry in my whole life. I mean, really, never seen my dad cry in my whole life. And at that time, I'm probably 19, 20 years old. And he sat us down. This is our home, you know, our large home. He sat us down. We sat in one circle in his bedroom. And he looked at us in the eye. And he says, kids, I want you to know that, you know, your mom and I didn't gamble, you know, and lose everything. We didn't drink and lose everything. You know, just saying that, you know, like we didn't, you know, partake in a lot of these vices that some people do when they lose everything. And he says it's just business and it just didn't work out. And he started crying. And that had such a huge effect. I'd never seen my dad cry. I mean, this really, really broke him. And so I decided then, okay, I'm going to drop out of school. I came back to Southern California. And I was like, okay, because my dad, you know, parents were depressed, and so I said, okay, I got to do something. You know, I'm the responsible son, and so I took, I started talking to a lot of people and these things. And if you know RT's story, RT became a door-to-door vacuum cleaner salesman, right? Your pastor became a television salesman. I didn't go door-to-door, and so what I did is I took all my credit cards. I did cash advances, I maxed out all my cards, and I basically bought consumer electronics, and I opened up a shop in Orange County. And my first big vendor, you know who it was? Samsung. Right? And it was not Samsung that we know today, Samsung that no one knew, you know, back then. And stuff. And so, in fact, a lot of people would confuse me, you know, with that name, you know, Samsung and white people jokes, okay, I don't know. So the reason why we did Samsung, because they were a brand new company that wanted to break into the U.S. market, and they were giving amazing terms, you know, for small business owners like me. And so I bought 200 Samsung TVs and sold them, you know, sold a bunch of other stuff, and then we started the business. And during that time, I think God was really moving in my family's life. God was really moving on my dad. My mom was already quite a strong Christian. Overtime working on her. And then God slowly started working on me, you know, during this time. And a lot of it is because I had Christian friends who I primarily played sports with. Right, so if you guys grew up in the U.S. or you know in other places, and you know how you guys had like Chinese church sports competitions and Korean church sports competitions, I was the guy that they brought in to win those tournaments, right? And so you know we call it the ringer, and so I'm familiar with the church scene because I played in all their sports leagues and things, but I wasn't really familiar with church per se. And long story short. These guys were so helpful to us and our family. God's moving in my heart. And I remember this one day, and I started going to church at this time. Pastor Ryan Chang, who comes and speaks here, he was my pastor. And we got into a time where, you got in a circle after Bible study and you shared prayer requests and things. And in my business, what happened is on Mondays when I go into downtown LA and I buy all the merchandise that I need, and it's 30 days, okay? So I buy on paper, but I have 30 days to pay. So when I go to pick up new merchandise, I need to pay 30 days worth of merchandise. And so I know, and if I don't do that, I'm not going to get any merchandise, from them. And these are wholesalers. And so I knew there was a certain amount of money that I needed to get. And so I don't know why, but I just said, I have a prayer request. And people were shocked, because usually those times I don't say anything. I said, okay, I got something, And I said, well, I need this certain amount of money by the end of, and that was Sunday, by the end of this day, so I have cash so I can go on Monday to pay my wholesalers. And so the guys prayed for me, and I remember Pastor Ryan was in my group, and he's like, yeah, God's going to really do this. God's, And for me, I was like, yeah, right. This is ridiculous, man, right? Number one, God doesn't really listen to us, because if he listened to us, there would be no wars in this world. I used to think like this. And so then, long story short, I after church, I go to, the shop, and, we're kind of closing down. But, there's this, little bit of faith that starts in my heart. I'm like, could this be true? Like, could God really hear my prayers? And I was very specific. I need a certain amount of money. And could God really hear my prayers? And the big question, you guys remember QBQ? The question behind the question, does God care about me? Does God care for me? Does God care about my needs? And so I'm there, and we're closing shop, and so I've got all the receipts. And this is before people put stuff on computers, so I got my calculator out. I've got the bill receipts, and I'm going through this is, by the way, early 90s, okay? So just to age myself a bit. And so I'm going through this, and it's $200 short. Right, and I was hoping that God cared about me. I was hoping that He knew what I was going through, but it was $200 short. And I remember, when I was adding it up, I was actually really hopeful. And then all of a sudden, I'm adding up, and it didn't quite happen. Close enough, but okay. And then as I'm finishing up, and then I'm having this inner dialogue, well, yeah, I guess God's not real, and I guess those idiots at church, man, they always just get my hopes up, and then this failure happens. And then I hear rustling in the back of the store. And we already closed the door, but I didn't see this guy because he was really short. And so, because, there's the shelves and stuff. And so I didn't see this guy. And he was back there. And then he's basically like, oh, hey, can I help? We're actually closed, can I help you? And he goes, yeah, I want to buy a TV. And I said, which one do you want to buy? I want to buy that one. That's Samsung TV. You know how much it was? $200. And I had the exact money that I needed. And I, I, I can't tell you the effect that it had on me. And in, number one, like, okay, God provides, but really bigger than that, God, you really know me. Like, you know what I'm going through. You know how difficult it was for my family. And you care about me? You really care about me? You care about my mom and dad and what we're going through? And just my heart was just so moved. And then it just became easy. Then I learned more about God and, you know, and I kept going to the church and more zealously now and listened to the messages. And it just really sunk in until, you know, April 1992, you know, I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Right, and you know, and then everything is history from there. But it's this idea, and I want you to know that even when you're going through difficult times and you're going through things, I want you to know, friends, God cares about you. Even things that you don't even know, it could be even be a passing thought of a need that you have. God cares about you. Do you remember my friend Kenneth Bay? And Kenneth, some of you guys know, he came and spoke at SP years and years ago, but he was a YWAM missionary, and he was one of the first Americans to be imprisoned in North Korea. And so, and Kenneth, he told this I cried so much when he told this story. And he was in North Korea, he was in jail for over 3 years, and he was in hard labor, and he had to go to the hospital a few times because of exhaustion. And so while he was there, and he told all these stories, but he said there was one time and he really felt quite distant from God, and he was just really focusing on his own needs, and he said he didn't even pray. It wasn't a prayer. It was just a thought, like a passing thought. And he basically said, I would give anything for some nuts. I would give anything for some Costco beef jerky. And I would give anything, I think, for some Skittles. I mean, it was something like that, right? Like these three things. But then the Swedish government, because the U.S. government were actually working through the Swedish government because they had ties with North Korea, they got his mother to come because he was pretty bad in the hospital at that time. And so mother came and visited him, and she's, you know, I said, oh, gave his son a hug and stuff. And she goes, I brought something for you, right? And she opens her bag, and in order, you know what I mean? Like in order, and it wasn't a prayer, it was just a thought. And she opened up and it was like bag of nuts, right? It was Costco beef jerky, and it was, you know, a packet of Skittles. Like everything that he was thinking about when he was in this lowest point, and he's saying, God, you've abandoned me. You know, I don't know what's going on. He's going through hardship. But just one after another, and he was saying, like, God knows my every thought. And he told me, he says, Sam, I'm telling you, I didn't even pray. It's not like I said, Lord, you know, please, I want to eat these things. He says it was a fleeting, passing thought, and God heard in order. It was amazing. Our God is like that. He cares about you. He cares about your needs. He cares about what you're going through. And listen, and not just spiritual needs, you know, like God just wants you to get closer to Jesus and, you know, and God wants you to not lie. No, no, no. He's concerned with every part of who we are. Think about this. Just think about this for a moment. Notice, Jesus in this prayer has us attend to our bodies before our spirits. I find that incredibly interesting. He wants to take care of our personal needs that are right there before he even gets into spiritual needs and these kinds of matters. Our natural, and because this is why, this is important, our natural well-being is necessary for our spiritual well-being. Do you understand this concept? We are whole people. I can't just divide, you know, my feelings are here, my body's like this. We're all interconnected. We're a whole person in this way. It's very difficult to maintain a vibrant spiritual life when we are unwell, when we are hungry, when we are thirsty, when we are tired, when we're sleep deprived, right? When we're in debt, right? It makes it very difficult. You know, William Booth, General William Booth, the founder of Salvation Army, this is what he says. He says, it's hard to preach the gospel to someone with an empty stomach and is shivering in the cold. Right? It's hard to preach the gospel to someone. You know, and so Salvation Army, their mission, feed them, clothe them, and share the message of the gospel. You don't realize how much of our human well-being is tied to our spiritual well-being. There's a really great story of Elizabeth Elliot, and she was speaking to a bunch of college students. And there was a Q&A in one of the sessions. And one of the students asked Elizabeth Elliot, you know, can you tell me, what is the key, what is the secret to an effective prayer life? And without skipping a beat, she said, 8 hours of sleep. That was it. 8 hours of sleep. And we would think she was, you know, think like, get on your knees, you know, or like, you like do it early in the morning. No, she recognized that our physical well-being was tied to our spiritual well-being. You know, I mean, if you're like falling asleep a lot while you pray, it's not necessarily because you're lazy or you don't love God. You just need to sleep more, right? You need to get to bed a little bit earlier, right? Turn off the Netflix, you know, or whatever else you're watching at that time and go to sleep. It's totally interconnected. So he has us attend to our bodies before our spirits, right? God has a great concern for our physical well-being, all right? So let's just break this prayer down a bit. Each word has great meaning. And so we'll just go word for word. It can be really simple. And the first word he says, give. Give, right? Not sell it to us, not lend it to us, but he gives it to us. This word teaches us that God is the giver of all things, right? He's the giver of all things. And it's give us. It's to us. Not to me only, right? But to others in common with me. This suggests that we're part of something bigger than us, right? We're part of a wide body of believers. We're part of this family of God, right? We are part of something bigger than us. That's why John, in his later epistles, John tells us, and it's such a striking verse. He says, do you have this world's goods? In other words, has God been blessing you? And he says, and you see your brother in need? And you hold on to what you have? And John asks this question, how then can you say that you have the love of God in your heart? It's amazing. John is totally aware of the community. It's not just me, it's us. Give us in this way. We're totally connected, right? It teaches us that charity and a compassionate concern for the poor and the needy is who we should be about as well. It also intimates that we as a people, we ought to gather together to pray with our families, right? Since we also eat together. Simple way. So give us, not just me, give us this day, not this week, not this month, but it teaches us to renew our hearts every single day before the Lord, right? Just as the Lord, right, wants our bodies to be renewed every day, right, so our hearts also should be renewed every day. You know, a simple idea, I mean, obviously, it's talking about food in this way, but the simple idea here, he's teaching us to go before the Lord every single day. Let me read you this quote. We would never treat our bodies like we treat our spirits. In other words, think about this. Every day you eat, don't you? Every day you drink. Every day you take care of your bodies. And this idea of this day and this prayer teaches us that, man, you know, you have great concern about your human bodies and all that. You should also have great concern for your spirits. I mean, when's the last time you read your Bible? What the scriptures actually call food, right? Bread in this way. You know, like your spirit is starving. When's the last time you really sat down and had a deep prayer time with God? Your spirit is starving, right? We would never treat our bodies like the way we treat our spirits. And so it's a good reminder. It's this day, every day. And it's, right, give us this day our, right, not bread out of other people's mouths, right? It's ours. It belongs to us in a way. And this is what it teaches us. It teaches us honesty and industry. Honesty and industry. I'll read some verses. Proverbs 20, 17. Bread obtained by falsehood is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be filled with gravel. Proverbs 31, 27. She looks well to the ways of her household, and does not eat the bread of idleness. In other words, God's given you work, a job. Do it well. Be thankful and grateful, right, for the task that God has given your hands to do. You know, I mean, we've touched on this in the past many times, but listen, brothers and sisters, work is an incredible blessing. I know some of you guys are thinking about Monday, and you're like, oh, man, I got to go to work. And my kids today, on the way to church, they thought that tomorrow was a holiday. And sometimes ESF does that. They, for whatever reason, the end of the Monday, they just do something. And I went on the app, and I told them, no, I'm sorry. It's not a holiday. You guys got to go to school. And I heard mumbling for the next 15 minutes on the way to church. And so, but many of us are kind of, when we think about work, it's kind of like that. But brothers and sisters, work is a blessing from God. Work was given to us before the fall, right? So work was always good. The fall made work toilsome, made work difficult. But work in of itself is an incredible blessing. And if you can get your mind and your heart and your spirit behind that, it'll change the way that you do work. I mean, that's a whole another message for another time. But we see this happening. And so it's our bread. It's the bread that you work for. It's the bread that you deserve, right? Not taken out of someone else's mouth in that way. And then it's daily. It's every day. Now, this is really interesting. I mean, let me just do a little word study for a bit. This word comes from a Greek word that is actually found nowhere in the Bible except in Matthew 6:11 and in Luke 11:3, which is obviously talking about the prayer. Think about this. This word is not even found in Hellenistic Greek literature. In other words, the Greek spoken at the time, this word is not found there. It's not even in the Septuagint. The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. It's not even found there. It's such a unique word. And he only uses it, right? This word is only alive. Jesus only used it in the prayer. In fact, some scholars say that Jesus made this word up. This is his own word. It's not found in Hellenistic literature. It's not found in the Septuagint. And it's not found anywhere in the Bible except when he talks about the prayer. Why? Why is that important? Right? He coined this specific word. Well, D.A. Carson, the great New Testament scholar, D.A. Carson believes the best translation for this word is actually coming day. And so this is why this word is so profound. If you pray in the morning, right, then this day is daily is that day. If you're the kind of person that prays in the evening, daily means tomorrow. It's pretty, okay, I don't know. I was pretty impressed. You guys are like, yeah, who cares, man? You know, I was like, wow, what an incredible word. It means two things at once. I mean, that's my nerdy part. I was like, wow, this is amazing. And so, I mean, only found here. And so Jesus takes note, man. If you pray the prayer in the morning or you pray the prayer in the evening, it means the same thing. Daily, right? Either night times, tomorrow, morning time, it's talking about this day. It's just really amazing. It teaches us in this way not to take thought of tomorrow, but to really depend on divine providence. Right? God will take care of you. This day, right, or I should say daily, every day, even tomorrow. Oh, that was pretty deep. Okay, any case, let's just move on. And then, bread. We have a lot of terms. We call money bread, right? We call bread. We even sometimes call our girlfriends bread, you know? I mean, I've heard that phrase here and there. And stuff. And so we ask for what we need and what is good for us and something that won't ruin us. Now, here's the kicker. Daily bread refers not only to food on our tables, but it really refers to life's essential needs. Right? This petition is not just simply talking about food. And you have to understand that. In Hebrew, the bread meant all kinds of nutrition, and actually even more than that. So let me draw. I mean, RT's in town. Actually, it feels so weird. RT's here on Sunday, but he's not here at SP, right? So it just feels weird. He's speaking at ICA. We can lend him out. It's okay. And so he's blessing them today. But here's a quote from RT. And RT says, daily bread refers to everything non-spiritual that we must have in order to live and cope. It refers to physical needs, emotional needs, material needs, every need not specifically mentioned in the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. And I agree. I agree with RT. This includes shelter. This includes clothing. This includes financial needs. This includes emotional strength. This includes clarity of your thinking and your mind. This includes friends and fellowship. It includes your transportation needs. It includes your job, your career, your future, whatever we need to get done, what we need to get done every single day. That's bread. That's bread. And so, okay, you don't believe RT, you don't believe me, I'll give you some more. This is John Calvin. This is what Calvin says. Calvin said this petition refers to whatever God knows to be essential. Martin Luther said it meant everything necessary for the preservation of this life. Food, a healthy body, good weather, home, children, good government, even peace. John Stott, for all you Brits that are here, okay? John Stott observed that to decline to mention our needs on the ground that we should not bother God with such trivialities is as great an error as to allow trivialities to dominate our prayers. The English guys always say it best, huh? They have a way with words, maybe because it's their language. It's something. Now, this is a simple reality. That's what bread means. Bread means everything that you need. Your work, government, the weather. And so God is interested in all of this stuff. He's not just interested in putting the food on your table. He's interested in you having a healthy body, having a sound mind, having loving friends and community around you, having a great church, you know, walking with you. He's interested in all of that stuff. And when you pray this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, you're asking for all of that stuff, not just the food that's on the table, right? We must understand that God is the giver of all things. He is the source of all things. The Apostle Paul was so smart. He was so smart, he goes to Mars Hill, and he's debating. He's like arguing and debating Athenian scholars and philosophers. And he is so smart, he uses their own literature. And he says, even your poets have said, and this is Acts 17:28. And he says, even your poets have said, in him we live and move and exist. And even some of your own poets have said, for we are also his children. It's everything comes from him. And his heart, his desire is to give us all things. James 1:17, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shifting shadow. What James means by that is he doesn't change. He doesn't change his mind. He's not like, you know, flittering left and right. He's right. There's no variation and no shifting shadow. Brothers and sisters, when we pray, you know, I mean, obviously the emphasis this year, but when we pray, let's have confidence that we're praying to a Lord, right, who knows what we need to succeed. We're praying to a God who cares about us, who loves us, and is interested in not just food, but all the needs that we need to have in order to live a fruitful life before him. But, get the order right. Right? Get the order right. It's first God and his agenda, and then we press our needs. Amen? Let me invite the worship team to come. I had a whole part two, but I'm going to save it for another time because I also love you. And so, let's close our eyes. What do you need today? This whole idea of needs and a loving God, it's not just a New Testament idea. I want to suggest it goes all the way back to the Old Testament when God met with Moses. And God asked Moses to go and free the Israelites. And he says, I don't even know your name, man. You know, remember what he said? He says, I am. I am what? I am whatever you need. You need healing? I am, right, Jehovah Rapha. You need provision? I'm Jehovah Jireh. He is whatever you need. Even in his name, the sacred name, mixed in with that is he's a God that provides whatever you need. He loves you. He cares about you. He knows what you need even before you ask. Even if it's a flittering thought in your mind. As we shared a couple weeks ago, this need or whatever, this is something that's happened in heaven. Prayer is a vehicle that brings it down to earth. That's why we're saying, Lord, teach us to pray. And so the worship team is going to just simply lead us in a song. And I want to encourage you during this time to let your requests be known to God. So simple. Don't be bashful, right? And don't, listen, and don't beg. We are not slaves. We're sons and daughters. We're praying for a God who loves us and who wants to provide for our needs. But make sure it's his agenda. And then let the prayers flow. So when they're leading us, I just want to encourage you to go before the Lord and just let your requests be known to God.
In the morning you sing over me, and I receive your mercy. Your faithfulness is clear to see. instant to read it. Every breath I breathe, an invitation to believe you are creating something good. Oh, the season doesn't tell my story. I know you move mountains for me. You're just that good. So I'll give thanks to God when I don't have enough, 'cause He's more than enough, and He knows what I need. And I'll give thanks to God when I don't have enough, 'cause He's more than enough, and He knows what I need.
One of our sisters wants to come and give a testimony, right? Just really just feels led by the Lord, and I feel it's right in my spirit. Come on, Rainbow. Come up stage, please. Yeah, come up stage, man. Come on.
Hi, guys. I'm Rainbow. I don't know if some of you know me or not. As Pizan was sharing about the brother that was in jail, it was just a thought that went through his mind, and God just answered him like that. And how our Father really cares for our hearts, and not just our hearts, but like our bodies and all that physical needs. I was reminded that many, many years ago, over a decade and more, one time I was, when I was still single, I was laid off, and I was foolish, and I was living paycheck by paycheck. So I was laid off, and it wasn't time to get paid, and I was already like really low. I didn't have money, so I was living in this like subdivided home in Wan Chai. I was just laying on my bed. I remember that was like close to evening. I was thinking, oh, I'm so hungry. Yeah, but I guess I can, you know, starve until maybe tomorrow, then I can save a meal. But at that time, I was just like quite upset with myself and just quite down. And then all of a sudden, the phone rang. At that point, I didn't have too many friends because I came back to Hong Kong not too long ago. And I was working at Crossroads, and then I had left Crossroads and worked for this job, and I got laid off. So anyway, phone rang. It was my boss from Crossroads, and he's like the most busy person in Crossroads. And he called and say, hey, I'm in town, because he's from he's based in Tuen Mun. I'm in town for a talk. What are you doing? I know you're in Wan Chai. I don't know where you're at. I said, well, I'm just home. What's up? You want to come and hang out? I got a few minutes. said, okay. So I went down, we sat in his car, and I don't think I shared too much with him, but I just remember I walked away from his car. I was fed. He gave me his food. I don't know why. He gave me his food, and he was like a big brother to me. He really cared for me. I just kind of didn't care before, but when I left, I really felt the, I don't know how to say it. It sounds really cliche. I just feel like God really cared for me. He didn't just feed me. He fed my soul, because I felt so down and out. Like, you know, I'm just this loser, you know, left a really good place to a job and then got laid off right away. Like, who am I? And then I wasn't even praying. I wasn't even praying, but I felt that I just want to show up and tell me that he really loves me and care, even when I wasn't really thinking about him. So just that, so I just want to share and encourage whoever needs to hear this. Bless you guys.
Thanks, Rainbow. Why don't we stand to our feet? God is able to do much more exceedingly abundantly than we can ever ask or imagine. Now, this prayer is a corporate prayer. And so can I invite you just to get together with somebody? Right? Just someone around you. Like, we don't have to go, we don't have to do hands. We just find someone. I want you to pray with somebody. And I want you to pray for their needs. Right? Right here in this place. Just find someone. You don't even have to know what they are. Make little groups. Our Father, who art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. And let's pray. Let's pray for one another's needs right now, right where you're at. Why do we worry? He knows what we need. Let's sing this together.
Why do I worry? Why do I worry? Why do I worry? God knows what I need. Why do I worry? Why do I worry? Why do I worry? God knows what I need. Why do I worry? Why? do I worry? Why do I worry? Why do I worry? God knows what I need. Why do I worry? I'm not worried. I'm not worried. I'm not worried. God knows what I need. And enough, and he knows what I need. I'll give thanks to God when I don't have enough, 'cause he's more than enough, and he knows what I need.
Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you, God. Lord, you know what we need, God. You care about our needs. You care about us, Lord. And we want to cancel every assignment of the enemy that wants to spread lies in our heart that you don't love us, you don't care about us, God. We banish those lies back to the pit of hell, God. Lord, you love me. You love us. You care for us, God. You ask us to come to you every day and ask for daily bread. And you gladly grant it to us. And so we thank you, God. We love you, Lord. We bless you. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom. From this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.